Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum and welcome to the final episode in our series Jinn and Jadum. In the previous episode, we spoke about protective and preventative measures and different things that we should read and give ourselves the best chance not to become victims of sihar, jadu and jinn. We also spoke a little bit about ruqya. We pick up the discussion now about visiting amils. Amils are those individuals who treat people that are afflicted with jinn or jadu and sihr. The short answer is yes, it is permissible. They are practitioners in a way, like you would visit a doctor or you would visit a herbalist or you would visit a specialist. As long as whatever they do or ask you to do is within the framework of the Sharia. It does not involve any kufr, it does not involve any shirk. Like we've been explaining throughout the series, that the jinn and jadu, sihr, has got to do with the world of the unseen. And treating it is also a science which is not known to many, but it is known to some. The challenge, I suppose, that many have is to find reputable amils, and not wanting to generalize too much, there have been, unfortunately, many who have become victims of amils who are just out to make money, not really treating people, not really knowing what to do, but just making money out of people who are very vulnerable, very desperate. And worse than that, amils who make people do things which are totally immoral, totally impermissible, exploiting women, sexually exploiting women, etc. So as difficult as it is, there are still many good amils out there. We may have to do a bit of research. We may have to do about a bit of background checks, ask people, find a reputable amil. Don't allow yourself to be exploited financially or otherwise due to desperation. And this is especially our mothers and sisters. Don't let anyone interfere with your honor and your modesty, all in the name of treating you for jinn or treating you for jadum. Consult first in terms of the reputation of certain individuals. Consult first in terms of what they want you to do, as to whether it is permissible or not, before you you allow yourself to be treated. Always a good idea to take someone with you and not to go alone. So in the event that you are put into a trance or something of that nature, that there is someone there to see that you are not dealt with in an inappropriate manner or you are not exploited in any way. So unfortunately, they, like in every sector and perhaps a bit more so in this particular field, because it's got to do with the unseen and because it's unregulated. Medicine, for example, you get doctors who go rogue, you get those who pretend to be doctors, but it's more regulated. You know, you've got to be registered, you've got to qualify, etc. You've got to be on the list of recognized doctors. Whereas here, it's not recognized, or rather, it's not regulated. And that allows, and it's difficult to regulate. It's a science that has got to do with the unseen. But there are genuine people out there who are doing good work. Are they allowed to charge? Yes, of course. Like when you go to a doctor or you go to anyone else who's providing you a service, they're allowed to charge. But the general encouragement to the amils is not to exploit people who are vulnerable just to make money. But if they dedicate themselves to this, then they are allowed to charge. They also have a family and they also have needs, etc. So they are allowed to charge. To conclude, we've discussed many of the concepts. Like I said up front, and I say again now, the intention was never to go into the details, because time does not permit in terms of what was allocated for the series. And two, the depths of it requires expertise on each aspect. The idea behind the series was just to make us understand what is the correct Islamic position in as far as these concepts are concerned. And like everything else, it's a moderate position. You can't deny it altogether or deny its existence or attribute nothing to it. But at the same time, you cannot attribute everything to it and let it overwhelm you and let it overcomplicate your life. Like with anything else, take as many preventative measures as you possibly can. And thereafter, if something is still willed to afflict, willed by Allah to afflict you or to affect you, then you turn to Allah, as per the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explore all options in terms of treatment and bear it patiently for as long as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wills for you to go through this difficulty and hardship. I hope that this has helped to demystify and clarify some of the concepts related to the topic. We request your ongoing du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.